And Kaladin starts to confront Zeth, starts to say, oh, you lost someone. Who did you lose? Who is it? Like, wanting to have that relation, that point to relate to. He's viewed Zeth as himself and his story, and he's wondering who Zeth lost in an attempt to bond and understand, which is good. And then Silfrenna actually jumps in and lovingly says he's the one who was lost in his story, right? Kaladin asks him, how old were you when you were taken? And he says he was 11. And Kaladin has this moment of realization, this moment of kind of being overwhelmed, of realizing Zeth is the TN equivalent. He was a boy who wanted to do nothing but go back home and dance and be with his sheep.
Welcome back to Following No One On, a Stormlight podcast. This week is episode 249, and we are in Wind and Truth, chapter 66 through I-10, officially just over halfway through the book. Elliot, how are you?
Guys, we are halfway through this book, and it only took us five and a half months to get this far. Proud of us.
Only.
Yeah, that's it. And great. And hear me out, guys. I think the rest, the last half of the book is probably going to be a lot more simple, a lot quicker. Our chapters are probably going to start getting shorter. Sorry, our episodes probably going to start getting shorter. Just more brief notes, you know, definitely. Just a couple minor things. So. Yeah, halfway through talking about important stuff too, right?
We can pull a scheduling that we did for The Lost Metal and like kind of condense the last half of the book into like two or three episodes.
Yeah, I think so. I think we will just do like five more episodes on the book total, right? Okay. Like, or maybe we can just do episode 250s next week. We could just go ahead and do our book wrap up. I think.
I mean, we joke about that. There's plenty of people begging us to finish the book already.
That's true.
So we probably shouldn't tease them like that. Yes, you'll still have to come back around August. I apologize. No patron, unless I'm mistaken, Paul, for this week. Correct?
You are not, but I'm going to give my always thank you to all of our listeners, all of our patrons. Everyone who tags along and talks about all the Cosmere fun going on. So
yeah. Elliot, can we get a brief summary of the end of day 5 here?
Yeah, let's do it. End of day 5 happens in chapters 66, 67, and 68. In 66, Kaladin and Zeth are checking out an empty monastery. They go find Zeth's old sheep toy thing. They ask him deeper questions and have some more therapy discussion, really digging into who are we, what defines who we are, all these really big questions. And at the end of chapter 66, Nail arrives. And yeah, ominous. Gonna ask you guys a couple questions about that. 67, though, we jump back to Adolin. He's talking to Notam, the Spren that came and helped him in the battle from last week's episode, asking, like, hey, how did you even get here? And he came to join, doesn't want to bond a human, but he still wants to help. So they field commission him into the army, and he's going to help him out. The second half of 67 jumps over to the Shattered Plains. We see Sigzil again as he is spying on the enemy and sees they have an Elsgate portal, and a familiar face steps out of that Elsgate portal as he's watching. And then chapter 68, flashback Another flashback, feels like that's appropriate to close out a day with Zeth. He's waiting for judgment for the actions, the rash actions that he took to fight off the raiders instead of just give them what they want and hope they go away. And he's about to get a peaceful assignment off where he doesn't actually have to kill or be a soldier again. And then the voice intervenes and makes sure that that does not happen. And he gets drug off to be an acolyte of the honor bearers. And in the midst of all that as well, his mother has finally had enough of all of this life change, and she does not go with them, even though Zeth's father and sister do. So family kind of falling apart there right at the end of day 5, at the end of chapter 68. And then after all that, we jump into some interludes, 9 and 10, super short. One Zile, he's getting tortured. The other Odium, he's getting angry. That's it.
Yeah.
He is getting angry. That's for sure.
Quite upset. Paul, did you have two words?
I do. And I have to say, this was challenging for me to come up with two words for. I feel like there's a lot of things that happen here, but also I feel like we have maybe less character perspectives than in a lot of our episodes. I could be wrong. I don't know the numbers on that. But my two words are compassion, which is largely for Kaladin and Zeth in chapter 66, which I'm very eager to talk about. And antagonists is my second word, which we just have a lot of devious antagonists pop up in this episode. We've got the voice, right? We've got Nail showing up. We've got Moash entering the fight, and we've got Odium classically in his interlude. I'd count that as well. We've got lots of antagonists really entering the fray here. So there we go. Two words. I feel like that's as best as I could do.
Elliot.
I have two words, and they go together, as I feel a lot of mine have been lately, and they are little brother. And I was really impacted by...
Hey, that's me.
It is you. You are my little brother. And Kaladin has some revelations as he's watching Zeth process Zeth's own past. And Kaladin is continuously looking for, where's the TN in your story? Where's that the moment where you were broken because of someone else? And it finally hits him here in chapter 66. I think it's 66. Yeah.
66.
Where, yep, Kaladin realizes that Zeth doesn't have a TN in his story because Zeth is the TN of his story. And that was a moment where that just really hit me. Not in that I was surprised that that was the case, but more of the emotions hitting Kaladin transferred to me in that moment of watching the two of them realize that was a cool chapter.
Your favorite chapter so far, Paul?
I think so. There are a lot of good chapters in this book, so it's hard to definitively say this is my favorite, but this has given me the biggest emotional response, I think, of any of our chapters. This thing you just mentioned, Elliot, absolutely hit me like a truck. Kaladin has this moment where he realizes, he asks, so they find this toy, this little knitted sheep wool toy, and Kaladin starts to confront Zeth, confronts a strong word, starts to say, oh, you lost someone. Who did you lose? Who is it? Like, wanting to have that relation, that point to relate to. He's viewed Zeth as himself in his story, and he's wondering who Zeth lost in an attempt to bond and to understand, which is good. And then Silfrenna actually jumps in and lovingly says he's the one who was lost in his story, right? Kaladin asks him, how old were you when you were taken? and he says he was 11. And Kaladin has this moment of realization, this moment of kind of being overwhelmed of realizing Zeth is the TN equivalent. He was a boy who wanted to do nothing but go back home and dance and be with his sheep. But here he was, toted off to war, to fight, and just has a moment. And I'm even getting chills saying this right now. Like pretty crazy chills. I mean, this really hit me hard. This is a big moment of, we know that Zeth has been mistreated and abused and misused, but having this direct connection to Tien, which we have such a connection to as well, we the reader, of course Kaladin does, and that's how they really relate with this. But we the reader, like, strongly impacted by this realization. And so now Kaladin has this new founded motivation and protection, like, that he wants to now protect and kind of come alongside Zeth. And it's more personal. It's less of a chore from Dalinar given to him. And now he sees a connection that's very personal and strikes a chord with him. I'm very excited to see this grow. I really want to see kind of a brotherhood grow between these characters. Would be really wonderful. But yeah, I mean, to say the least, this chapter hit like a truck, was very impactful. Also fun in this was Sylphrenna. Also, I feel like had great moments and great dialogue, and I feel like it's been a little while since we've had just fun Syl moments, and so that was also just an added plus. I wrote a bit in my live reaction about, like, how this was just so good, and I was ready to make jokes at the start because it starts more lighthearted. But man, this, yeah, I could go on and on. This was a special chapter, I think.
And in classic Brandon Sanderson fashion, just in time for Zeth to die. Just got to say it before it actually happens, so I look smart.
There we go. Yeah, perhaps. So is Kaladin going to lose a second TN figure? Is that what you're saying is going to happen?
Yeah.
Okay. Harsh.
That? Yeah. Brutal, because in this scene, there's a moment shortly after Kaladin realizes that Zeth is the Tien of his story, where Kaladin, it kind of clicks for him that, no, he needs to help Zeth. He was on the fence a little bit with, oh, is Zeth really helpable? He just really doesn't want to be helped. Am I hurting things by trying to force this on him? And here in the middle of chapter 66, it feels like Kaladin makes a decision where he locks in, I have got to help this guy. So if the end of this story is Zeth dies, that's going to be hard for Kaladin to take.
I'm actually more curious at the end of this chapter when Nail shows up, how Nail versus Kaladin is going to go. Is there actually going to be like a full-on confrontation, or is that just going to be like, I don't know how that would go, to be honest.
I'm curious what I expect, and I haven't thought about this too much, but what I expect off the top of my head is Kaladin being the voice of reason in a otherwise very difficult logic conversation. So Zeth responds very much to rules and laws and authority, right? Nail is bounded to the law and sees nothing else, 100% letter of the law, you know, all this stuff. And to the point where Zeth is starting to realize that that might not be right, but Nail is not going to budge on anything, I imagine. Might even, like, I don't know how it'd look, but I imagine he would threaten to reprimand or cut off Zeth from the Skybreakers if he does not follow their rules and their guidelines. So I'm very curious, but I imagine that Kaladin will be like the voice of reason, because Zeth, I imagine, would naturally respond to authority, and Nail's maybe different now, but that's my guess, is he'd naturally respond to or not push back on or something, not push back in the right way against Nail. But I have faith that Kaladin here, especially given Kaladin's newfound desire to help Zeth, that he will stick up and try to find a working solution. Which, by the way, one other side note, I can't stand Zeth Spren going and tattling. He's just a tattletale to go tell on Zeth.
Snitches get stitches.
Yeah, going to tell on Zeth for not following the stupid guidelines that this evil Spren has had. Like, it's easily my least favorite Spren we've had in our story. Definitely the worst Spren to be bonded to of any that we've seen. Of like our normal Spren, right? Our normal high Spren. So yeah, what a loser. And then as soon as things don't go his way, goes and tattles, goes and calls the teacher. You're just trying to have some fun. Next thing you know, you're in the principal's office, and it just gets me, you know.
That was you, Paul, in school, surely. No.
Yeah. No.
Yes, you no, were.
This is a fantasy story, Trevor. We're not. This is a no, no.
You went and told the teacher.
I never did. No.
Anyway, we haven't talked about epigraphs yet, so let's back up and discuss that for a second. Epigraphs for the end of day 5, which, just as a recap, we have made the assumption that this is from Endowment to Hoid. Because Nalthus was brought up at the beginning of this epigraph, and if it's going by previous rules, it would be the shard of that system, which seems to be the case. But you need not always have the last word, though I know you collect them like badges of honor. I will not tell you where she is. All I will say is that I have kept my bargain. I did not go in person at her request for aid. These days, it seems she and I are the only ones capable of maintaining any manner of isolation. I can tell you with absolute certainty, she does not want to see you again. It has not been too long. No, I do not think it ever will be. Be content to play with your toys on their world of storms, or do I have to broadcast what I have learned of your goals? I certainly do not think it coincidence that you have made a special study of the worlds where legends abound of the dead being raised. You feign altruism, but you have another motive, do you not? Well, you always have. A couple different things stick out to me, but what about you guys?
I'll honestly say not much really jumps out at me there. Some vague bits of accusatory statements. We always have known that Hoid has got a complicated mix of motives. Self-preservation, not the least of. So, I don't know. I didn't feel like I got too much new information.
I had to look up altruism just to make sure I knew what that meant. To clarify, that is... altruism is when you are acting selflessly. You're acting for others' benefit, not yourself. So when they say you feign altruism, you fake that you're doing this for others, but that's not the case. But that's my point of clarification, because I didn't know that. I didn't remember what that word meant. So
somebody's thanking you in the comments.
Yes. Hopefully this helps at least one listener, and I'm not the only one who didn't know what altruism meant exactly. Anyways, with this, I hate to say it, I have only so much room in my brain, and I feel like the epigraphs in this book specifically have just like not been, I've not had the capacity for. I've been on so many emotional roller coasters at this halfway point into this book that I don't know. I feel like I'm losing track of anything that's going on in these epigraphs here. I know we've been having lots of dialogue back and forth, but man, I feel like an empty vessel here coming into these epigraphs. This is when I appreciate having Trevor explain these to us in the past.
I am all over epigraphs, and I will happily chime in.
Okay, please.
The she that's referred to, if you forgot, is Valor from some previous epigraphs in the previous chapters. What I got out of this is there's a previous relationship between Valor and Hoid, even more than just the shard, like Hoid was there when the shards were created thing. Like, there's a more personal relationship between Valor and Hoid, and Valor wants nothing to do with Hoid, and Endowment is going to keep Valor's secret. Second thing, I certainly do not think it coincidence that you made a special study of the worlds where legends abound of the dead being raised. That didn't strike you guys? Come on. Is the assumption that Roshar is included in that? Is that the dead being raised could be... Or is that just a reference to, like, our fused? I don't know. The dead being raised seemed important to me.
Important, yes. Yeah, I think so. I think important. Vague enough that I feel like I can't do much with it yet. And I'm not a epigraphologist, and I know you people exist out there. So if some people can go back and dig through the treasure trove of epigraphs to tie a thread up until this point, I will be very intrigued. But I don't know. I don't know quite what to do with it.
Yeah, unless this is something entirely new, my understanding is this is just referring to our fused friends, where they die and they come back in the storms, on this world of storms. I think it is funny that they say, be content to play with your toys on their world of storms. You know, like, this is such a trivial thing. That's the only thing I can think of. If not, then the dead being raised, we've got some crazy stuff going on that we have yet to discover. It would be the craziest thing if it's maybe being understood to be tied to, like, cognitive shadows or something. I don't know. There's several ways you could spin this. Heralds, even. There's several ways you could spin this, but I'm assuming they're just referring to, like, diffused or something. Bit odd.
Yeah. I do think this is, once again, bringing up the Hoid's motive is to recombine Adonalsium. That was referenced way back in the Way of Kings with Dalinar, and this may be the next or the latest reference to that. And so I think it's interesting that we're bringing that back up as a possibility. Unite them, by chance?
We did see, as a side note, Hoid is really the one who gets offered everything and turns it down. Yeah. Because we know he's been offered a shard and turned it down originally at the Shattering. And last episode, we didn't talk about it, but with the heralds, as they're trying to find the remaining couple heralds, they offer Hoid a spot in the crew. So he could have been a herald, and he's like, it's not really my thing, you know? So
true. Okay. With those epigraphs for day 5 done. I mean, we dove kind of straight into chapter 66. Was there anything more in there that we wanted to talk about?
Briefly. I actually just wanted to add. So I'm actually just going to read some of my live reaction. I wrote this like right after reading the book, or sorry, this chapter. I wrote it in our our channel, so I think a lot of our patrons have already seen this, but as a side note, I wanted to point out that when I read this chapter, I was listening to it on my commute home from work, and like I had time to listen to this chapter, and then probably another half or so of a chapter. I don't remember. I probably had an extra 15 minutes or so. But whenever I finished this chapter, when it ended, I just stopped it and I sat in complete silence the rest of the way home. Like, that's how hard this one hit me. So I just wanted to bring that back up of like this was, I think this was such an astoundingly good chapter all the way through. It started with just fun planning, Zeth going on his little journey to collect his swords, ended in real heartfelt moments. So yeah, left me stunned and speechless for a while. But yes, nothing else pertinent to say on that. I'm happy to move on to 67 if we want to.
Sounds good. Back to Adolin in 67, and he talks to Notam. Notam is here and gets a field commission. That's the title of the chapter. What do you guys think?
Oh, something I think is cool. So we have Notam showing up, right? And first of all, they make a mention that it's getting quicker and quicker for our Spren to come to the physical realm. You know, they reference, you know, it took Syl, Frenna a long time to get acquainted with the physical realm, but now I guess because Radiant Bonds are stronger around, that it's quicker, there's less of that downtime. So it says it took Notam like a day or so. And
the plot like, requires it.
Yes, the plot requires it as well, that right. This speed up. But it mentions that Notam was like kind of out of it for like a day or so, and then is like pretty much full, like, yeah, he's chilling, he's fully himself, knows who everyone is, knows who he is, all the things. Quite convenient.
Did you, super quick on that before you move on, did you guys put any stock into, I think it's May, the girl who Adolin dated once, is yes, like they're chatting about May. This. She talks about that. She mentions that as suspicious. She says, I'm not so sure about that dude claiming to come through in a day. We've never seen that before. Do you follow that train of thought? Is this suspicious?
Okay, Elliot, yes, I did follow, but in different ways. What you just mentioned, I did not specifically key into, but there's some other things that May says that I wanted to bring up. I have another thought about Notam, but I want to come back to the things that May says, because I have some questions for y'all.
Well, didn't we leave Notam in charge of like building a navy? Or was that just my theory?
He was going to do something. He was intentionally staying behind, but was going to do what he could to help.
Right. So why is he here? Is he actually here?
Well, he says that he heard a female voice. And Adolin says, oh, was it Maya? And Notam says, I don't know. Was unclear.
Well, he says, no, I know about Maya, but that wasn't it. Like, I know that Maya is over at Lasting Integrity, but I came over before she showed up. Right?
Something like that.
Anyway, are you guys suspicious of Notam? Is that what you're trying to say with, like, the May being suspicious?
Well, no, that's how I'm read not... that section.
Oh, okay. I was not suspicious of Notam. I just feel like May knows more than she should, or we thought she should, for someone who, to my knowledge, is pretty unacquainted with all the deific happenings on Roshar. What I was going to throw around with Notam. So Notam is very clear that he's not going to bond anybody. He's here and he's kind of tasked with being a messenger, right? Great. Very helpful, resourceful. I like it. It's a good way to help. I was going to throw out, though, we have a notable wind runner who's not a wind runner, right? Because he did not bond a sprint. Do you think that we're going to see Notam actually bond with someone? What is it? Kolot? Is that the name? Or what's the name of the guy?
Yeah, Kolot. That's the Adolin's right-hand man guy.
Yeah, not putting crazy stock into this, but I just feel like that'd be neat. I've had the thought ever since he was mentioned, and they make such a point of like, yeah, this guy is sort of a windrunner, but he's a total loser. His sprint didn't even want him, so hate that guy, by the way. And then you move on. I'm like, well, we need a little bit of justice. We either need something honorable or something. If we're going to bring him up, something's got to happen. Either he dies an honorable death and that's the attachment we have to him, or he's going to bond a sprint. And I think it'd be pretty cool to see Notam bonded to somebody. I can't lie. So I think Kolot would be a cool contender. That was where my brain went right away. Whenever he's like, I'm not going to bond anybody. Like, what if Kolot's the right fit?
Feasible.
I think Notam's going to be a continuation of the thread. Were we talking about this in the episode last week, I think, of...
Last week, yeah.
Adolin specifically not having a radiant bond, and yet still starting to maybe explore kind of what's possible outside of that. I think Notam might be a continuation of that thread of, can Spren hold positions of influence and contribute without being bonded to a radiant?
That is true. Of being like irrelevant, like they can be allies but not bonded. Right. Yeah, no, exactly. I'm all for it. That makes sense. What I wanted to say with May, though, May starts to talk about Adolin and Shallan, right? Saying that May and Adolin were not really a good match. He said, I'm paraphrasing very roughly. May basically says, like, Adolin, you and your wife now, like who your partner who you're with now, have a great deal of whimsy about you, you know?
Yeah.
I needed to ask, because I'm an audiobook listener, is that capitalized or is that not capitalized?
I knew you would ask.
There's no way it's capitalized.
I knew you guys would ask. And I am here to tell you the word whimsy in that sentence is not capitalized.
I was going to say, there's no way.
It's devastating for me right now. I wanted it to be. I wanted this to be like a crazy.
I had the same thought. Drop. I had the same thought. And I quickly dismissed it because it's not capitalized. And I don't take May as a Cosmere literate type of person.
I agree.
If this was somebody else, a little more Cosmere aware, I might spin something insane off of this.
If Zyle said that about him.
Yeah.
You're feeling a bit whimsical today, Adolin. And Adolin quickly dismisses it, right? Of like, I have no whimsy. You know, absolutely no whimsy here. And I thought that was fun. But I also thought, you know, I didn't know if this was capitalized. And I thought, you know, if there's somehow another shard somewhat involved here, especially in Shallan's case, that's very believable in my head. That's very believable because she's got all sorts of crazy rules going on. No idea. Adolin, I'd be more surprised. But anyways, I heard that, and after the like those other accusations and things we were talking about, I'm like, what is May talking about here? What is she doing? And so I think Brandon just had a lot of fun tormenting the audiobook listeners with that one.
Anything else for Adolin? All right. Sigsil sees Moash show up through an Else gate and his hemallergic spike dies. Not a sentence I thought I would say.
Oh, man. Antagonists, am I right?
You are Moresh right.
showing up. So first, I want to go back a little bit briefly. We didn't talk about this last week, but so Zigzal is doing his best fighting off a Thunderclast, by the way. True. He's got his hands full. I suppose they've weathered that storm, and now Moash has shown up. This is not where I was expecting Moash to show up. And I don't know how this is going to go. Are we going to add to Moash's death, like, kill count? Is he going to become more formidable and more hated by everyone in the community because he's going to kill Zigzal and company?
I was wondering the same. I mean, Sigzal's obviously safe for redacted reasons if you haven't read the whole Cosmere. But, I mean, he has quite a few of haters. He has quite a few people that he has pissed off across Roshar for various reasons. And Bridge 4 is not the least of these. So he's here to fight all of the Radiants that already hate him, I guess.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure what to guess about Moash now. He's back on the scene. He's been kind of notably absent in the entire first half of this book. So I reacted to this as we're literally on the page of the book that is the exact middle, and Moash steps out on the stage. Foreshadowing, foresandering, whatever we're calling it, very obvious for, okay, our second half of the book villain has just arrived.
Very true. And I have to say, one other thing I want to point out is some of our characters may feel safe, but we've learned from the previous book with Moash that Spren are not safe, right?
True.
Doesn't he kill Teft's Spren? Is that who?
Fenderana.
Spren are certainly not safe, as well as the people here. So I feel like there's going to be some carnage. I don't think this is something that Zigzal was accounting for in this whole situation. Are we going to see... Yeah, I was a bit surprised by this because I was expecting Moash to come into play more with one of our other more major characters. It would certainly make sense for his infamy to grow if he leads to some kind of victory here. But yeah, this isn't actually where I was expecting Moash to enter the fray.
Kind of jumping a little bit ahead and referencing one of our interludes in reference to this. Odium, by the end of his chapter, we'll get there, mentions that there's two people on Roshar that he respects. One is Dalinar, the other is Jasnah. And now that Odium is resolved and decided by the end of this interlude that we'll talk about later, now he's going to pay them or teach them a lesson, in quotes, for Dalinar and Jasnah. So this whole fight with the Shattered Planes is pre-Odium resolving himself to, like, be hatred god dude. So I thought the Wrath of the Shattered Planes would be less than what just showed up out of the Elsgate. That this does not look good for Zigzal and company here.
But do you know what does look good? My bingo board.
Oh no.
Here we go.
Somebody just went through a chasm, didn't they?
Yes.
Oh, dang it.
Let me make a case to you for me getting to check off someone enters a chasm on the Shattered Plains. Now I could see some space for a little bit of meh with this because he flies through it. But it specifically mentions that he's trying to stay out of sight, so he goes down in the chasm.
It counts.
And flies through. Okay, I'll take it.
I also think it counts. I was waiting for the moment that they technically enter into the chasm, and that absolutely is entering by my book. So yeah, that was pretty cool. When I read that, I did think of your bingo board. And it was also a cool scene, I have to say, kind of the reminiscing of the chasm, like the chasms, their chasm duty as a bridge crew.
Oh yeah.
It's where they learned, they trained. I really liked the moment of reminiscence there. For our characters. I thought that was really cool.
And if we don't count it here, it'll certainly count in day six, where Venli is running through the chasms on the way to the middle. So it doesn't matter.
While riding a chasm fiend to completely Correct. Check off yours as well.
Correct. While riding chasm fiend, that will certainly happen. Okay. Chapter 68. Flashback Zeth chapter. We knew that Zeth's backstory was tragic. I don't know if we were quite prepared for this, where Brandon dangles this like peace, tranquility, life in front of Zeth, not once, not twice, three times so far, and we're not only halfway through the book. And he's like, yes, I'll accept this commission to go live as a guard somewhere with peaceful sheep or whatever. And then the voice chimes in and says, yo, that's not gonna fly. I almost missed this meeting. I'm glad I didn't. And then right then I was like, oh my gosh, dang it. So I'll be honest, I was on the fence on this voice up until this line, and I was like, oh, come on, this voice has got to be an unmade, in my opinion. But what'd you guys get?
Yeah, I think so. There was a malice in that action of, I can't let you go live a peaceful life. You're mine. You're my instrument of killing. I'm going to change the course of events here and have you brought to the monasteries to become an acolyte. That was, yeah, that was rough. Not cool it voice.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely sad. Brandon really put the hurt points on by showing this opportunity that Zeth was excited about. This like peaceful opportunity for him to go have some sheep in a little remote area. He's all excited, and the voice here just pulls the rug on it. You're right. I am also fully convinced, Trevor, that this is an unmade. I know we've talked about who it might be. I still don't know for sure. Wasn't it? What were the ones we were looking at? Was it a Shirt Marn or something like that?
It was either Dagonarthus or Chimori or Chimoirish.
Chimoirish, yeah.
Or whatever, okay. However you say that. Gotcha. My English vocabulary does not like an A and an O right next to each other. I can't mm-hmm. handle that.
Okay. Anywho, yeah, no, bad news bears for Zeth here. I'm curious for what the rest of our Zeth flashbacks will look like. I feel like we're not going to have many flashbacks left. I kind of think we're nearing the end of that. I think there will certainly be more relevance, but I kind of feel like we're ending getting to an end point with that in a way.
I also had that thought, but then I also considered, well, he has to go practice with like all 10 of the shard blades. We haven't even seen that at all. I don't know if we will. You're right. We might be towards the end of Zeth flashbacks, or it might go through the whole book. I don't know.
That's true. There's the long version where we see all of it. There's the short version where we get some other flashbacks where it's like Zeth has trained with all 10 shard blades and is now the shard master and gets deemed as truthless and goes from there or something. I kind of anticipate a shorter version with it, but yeah. Did you have thoughts on that, Elliot?
I have a bad feeling that this might just be the start of the gut punches, and that we're still gonna, we're gonna keep getting Zeth flashbacks. We're only at, I was just flipping to the chapter header to see, 18 years ago. I think we started it at like 25 years ago or something like that. So we've made it 7 years, but he's got 18 more years to cover to get up to present day. And we know it doesn't go well. The Zeth of where we picked up our story in Way of Kings is not in a good place. So I'm a little scared that we now have 18 years of not good and for Zeth.
I think we are going to get more. So one of the saddest things, and it ties in really well, like start really well in a sad way, in a heartbreaking way. So Kaladin in chapter 66, I believe it's chapter 66, that Kaladin references Zeth's parents, provides them as a reason to, I guess, do what's right. I don't remember the exact context, what he's convincing him of, but he says...
He uses them as an example that he is loved by somebody.
Yes.
Your parents did love you, is the...
Yes, phrase that's right. That's right. He says, I have two good reasons for you, and that's your mother and your father. Right. That's the example that he gives. And then at the end of this chapter, we see where his family has appeared to be very, thankfully, very stable and kind and supportive. Here we really see a big rift at the end of this. We're left with his mom stepping away, saying, I'm not following this anymore. I'm not doing this anymore. Forces a big rift to be made and a choice to be made by the rest of the family, which is very, really like gripping, really heartbreaking to see. I'm afraid. I think you might be right, Elliot. I think we're just going to see more. We do know that he, by the time we get to the start of the Way of Kings, he refuses. He does not call himself Son Naturo, but Son Volano. I'm guessing that we're going to see some further things where he declares he's not worthy of his father's name, etc. Like how we do see modern
day. We're also maybe forgetting a pretty monumental event, which is him getting named Truthless. Because that's not this scene.
I was going to bring that up. I think, based on this chapter, that Zeth is going to make the claim that the Surgebinders have returned, the Knights Radiant have returned, at the request of the Voice. And the Voice is going to make him Truthless, give him his Oathstone. Because the Voice said previously, I've cultivated this Oathstone thing in your culture. Like, without me, it probably wouldn't have survived this long. And the Voice will give him, it will be the cause of him getting the Oathstone.
I think you're absolutely right, Trevor. I couldn't agree more. We see that start with the previous flashback chapters we got, right, where he repeats what the Voice says to him to those like sailors or invaders, right? Says something like the storm, right, in their language, it's roughly like the storm riders have returned or something. Right. Like right. Feels very much applying to the Knights Radiant. I think absolutely he's gonna do that, and then the Voice is gonna pull the rug on him.
And even more of a prediction, I think the Voice will say, repeat after me, I think the Knights Radiant are going to show up, and then he gets his Oathstone because of that, and then the Voice is going to leave. And I think he's going to hear nothing, and that's going to torture Zeth even more, is that after he gets his Oathstone, the Voice will abandon him and leave him out to dry.
Just to add one more thought on top of that, too, what if all of that could be happening in the context of the Voice punishing Zeth for not obeying something that the Voice wants Zeth to do? What if the Voice makes an ultimatum, Zeth, you have to do this, and Zeth finally gets to the point where he says, no, I've spent my whole life working to follow authority and do the best that I can to follow orders to the best of my ability, but this is too far. I refuse. And the voice goes, okay, then I'm done with you, and causes the whole truthless thing, exactly everything you just said.
How long before we define the voice, do you guys think? Before we get a name?
That feels fairly obvious because we're on the classic video game track of, well, we have to get to the final boss room. So when Zeth and Kaladin get through all the different monasteries and they arrive at the door of the final one, this thing is in the final one, and we will have the reveal moment, the doors swing open, and there it is.
The text scroll at the bottom of the screen.
Yeah. The health bar appears.
Right, exactly. Anything else before we close out day five? Alrighty. Elliot, do you have a theme for our previous chapters here?
Yeah, I do. To try and sum up day five, I do have a little bit of a theme. I don't like this one as much as previous ones, and I actually had to recruit some help from my co-hosts here to pull some thoughts together, because day five felt like it was going in a couple of different directions, and it was difficult, impossible for me actually, to draw a thread between Adolin, who's just keeping the battlefield going, and Dalinar Navani, who are just trying to discover and learn, Shallan, who's refacing old battles with Formless, and then of course Zeth and the reliving of his past and trying to discover his identity. Who is he? Who should he be listening to? All these things. A lot of different things happening in day five here as we're setting up for our plot threads to maybe converge in the second half of this book. All that to say, theme of day five, I had narrowed in on Zeth, with this being Zeth's book, and there being some really big Zeth chapters here. We just spent a good 30 minutes talking there about Zeth and the big hard-hitting chapters that we had this week, and there were some pretty big ones the last couple of episodes as well. So the theme I settled on with Zeth in mind is, I'm going to pick the word coercion, kind of a version of manipulation or influence, but in a very negative and like violent context. It really feels like this voice is coercing Zeth into doing all the things it wants to, with this passive aggressive threatening of what it's doing. Oh, okay. That's not how this situation was supposed to go. So I'm going to take control now and make sure that you learn how to kill. Those kinds of things. And I can at least tie in Shallan with this a little bit, because I feel like Formless is doing this to Shallan as well. There's a scene, I don't think we really got to talk about it, but Shallan is fighting with Moraes, and Formless pops up and says, kill him, now's your chance, you have to do this, this is who you are the one that kills those who have, you know, been a figure in your life. Oh, and by the way, go kill Dalinar too, because why not? Very much in that kind of coercion state of mind of forcing our characters to do violent things. So that's my takeaway from day five, even though I'm not fully happy with that, because I think it's leaving out quite a bit in this day. So there you have it.
Sounds good.
I can definitely add that it was, we did try to brainstorm the best way to summarize this these days, and it's not straightforward and easy. I'd actually be curious to see if anyone has, anyone listening has ideas of like, what's a great synopsis word for the theme of this day? You know, it's a lot, yeah. There's a lot going on.
All right. Interlude 9. Zile. We haven't seen Zile in a full book and a half by this point. Last time we saw him was the beginning of Rhythm of War. And he is naked, hung up on the ceiling, tortured by Exidweth. So, Paul, you predicted that on your bingo board, right? You can check that. I'm just kidding. You, somebody has Zile and Azure exchange dialogue. So that's half of a slot. So
I do. I think I have that slot, and I think I have Zile and Nightblood exchange dialogue. So I need Zile to start talking to people. So hopefully he gets freed here pretty soon. This is not what I was expecting from this interlude. They also reference him as Vasher quite a bit here. What the heck is happening? What are we learning from this? That Exendweth is evilly captured Vasher and knows a lot of stuff, I guess.
For those who don't know or have forgotten, let's define Exendweth. Do you guys remember who Exendweth is, Paul or Elliot?
It's the character who has a bunch of rings, gold rings or jewelry or something, right?
Yes, she is our resident ferrochemist. Oh boy, okay. Is that right? Allomancy, ferrochemy, yeah, ferrochemist. Yeah,
I believe that's
She's our resident ferrochemist on Roshar. She has been around in the Gavilar scenes, the brief Gavilar scenes that we've gotten, which... Okay. This interlude actually explains why Gavilar now knows Zile as Vasher. That was an answer that we, or that was a question that we had at the original prologue of this book. And Exendweth is responsible for giving Venli the original Void Spread. So in the flashback chapters of Rhythm of War, we get Venli flashback and Exendweth in the original Gavilar expedition gives Venli the original void light spren sphere and says, take this into a storm and cool things will happen. That's Exendweth. Her motives, I don't know, but she's certainly not a good guy.
And this scene in particular, I was trying to figure out why is Zile being tortured, and it seemed like the only reason we got was Exendweth wants his breaths, his investiture. Give me your stuff. I'm gonna torture you till you do.
I guess.
And he considers giving like half of his breaths away, right? He's like, well, half of my breaths, it wouldn't be that big of a deal. Still have plenty to work with. And then, you know, I could be free. But he ultimately decides not to relent yet, because he doesn't think Exendweth would accept that, would be like, okay, well, now I want 3/4 or something instead of half. Change the deal, take half, and then demand more, you know. So he's hanging in there, he's holding on, but this was very much, Trevor, you made a joke, this was very much not on my bingo board. I thought there was a chance Zile might get involved in something here in this book. This wasn't how I guess that may be.
Now you just need Azure to burst through the door, rescue him, say a couple lines.
Honestly, yes, yeah, I do. That's what I need. Yeah, that would be great. That'd be cool.
I said this in my live reaction, and I think it's still my biggest takeaway from this chapter. After reading, you know, all 2 pages of it, I was just left with the question of, and why is this relevant?
I'll tell you. This is the foreshadowing of Vasher becoming one of our next heralds and enduring torment for eternity.
Okay. You heard it here first, I guess.
Next question.
That's all I got. You answered them all.
Okay. Shout out to the parrot who repeats peaky time back to Vasher. I did not predict that, unfortunately.
The whole peaky time thing was quite unsettling for me. That was like, this was Brandon taking another little stab at some moderately horrific themes, like horror genre stuff. It was quite unsettling to see Vasher who we know, playing peaky time here to cope with being tortured. This was very sad. This was very dark. Maybe next interlude will be cheerful and we'll change the mood, right?
Okay. Minor spoiler. I mean, I guess if you're this far, minor spoilers for a more cheery interlude. Where is that interlude that we covered way back, like a year and a half ago, with the eerie?
Yeah, I was wondering when we were going to come up to that.
Yeah.
We talked about that as either being at the start or at the end. I think it's going to be closer to the end.
Bold prediction.
I think it's going to be the second half of the book, Trevor.
Oh, wow.
So I don't know how much we should talk about that because I don't know. A lot of people came into this book not doing preview stuff.
Right.
So I don't think we should talk details. But there's a notable event that occurs that I feel like could only be late, like cataclysmically late.
So. Sure. Anyway, that was just on my mind as I was reading these interludes. No, I was like, surely
we'll
get this somewhere.
That's a good point. I'd kind of assumed that any kind of preview, anything would have been like everything else that was preview related is we covered that a while ago, right?
Right.
Like, I don't think there's anything else other than one outstanding interlude. So I don't know when that's going to come in. I've been waiting for that myself as well.
Okay. Interlude 10. Odium has finally got off the fence on who he is. That's about it.
Yeah. And Cultivation goes, oh crap.
Cultivation shudders, which I actually thought was a really cool line.
Yeah. We've been wondering a little bit, somewhat, right, about if Cultivation is actually good or bad. I mean, we know that Cultivation is not on the side of Odium, so does that mean that Cultivation is good? I know it's not that linear, but for our purposes, are we assuming that Cultivation is an ally and good and gonna help us defeat Odium?
I think now, yes. I think Cultivation will actually play her hand now that Odium has freaked her out.
I was most intrigued in this chapter, actually, by this rather strange description of Odium going through this process of making up his mind. Did you guys catch this? It's at the very end. It uses the word avatar, and I'm wondering if it's not figurative. Here's what it says. Questions died there on that mountaintop. Taravangian Odium was truly born. He coalesced an avatar in radiant, shining gold vestments and placed a small cane to his side. The twin portions of his soul vibrating with the same pure tone. He opened eyes that beamed with the light of the sun. Cultivation trembled.
Okay.
What is happening there? Is it Odium is assuming his final form? Or is this like the essence of Odium is like splitting off into this other being that he's then going to send out into wreck the world?
The way I read that is he's finally creating his picture that he's going to show up to the contest with or go, you know, how up until this point, Dalinar has always seen Odium in visions and stuff. Like Odium shows up in visions as like this old guy in gold robes. That's what this is. Taravangian is finally creating his profile picture.
Oh, okay. He's decided on what he wants to do, so he has shaped the form that he's going to go do all that in?
Correct. If he's now going to show up to mortals, this is how he's going to look. That's how I read that.
And it's shining, radiant gold vestments with a small cane, with eyes that beam with the light of the sun. Okay.
It's a pretty cool look. I can't lie. I think that's pretty cool.
Going to be all the rage next year.
Or in 4 days when the contest happens.
Yeah, that's fair. Or if we're talking next year as in like real life, I bet we'll see some Toadiums dressed up at Dragonsteel.
True.
The glowing eyes might be hard to pull off, but I have faith. There is some pretty creative stuff.
Somebody's got to try the new Moash look.
That's true. Yeah, that's going to be cool. A crystal spike.
Yeah.
Pretty dope.
All right. Something that I pulled out of this chapter is I thought it was interesting that Odium still valued Jasnah and Dalinar, still spent time considering them and thinking about them. After everything that Taravangian has ascended to, has learned, that Dalinar and Jasnah were still on his mind as important. I thought that was really important. But other than that, I didn't have much more.
Yeah, he's oddly specific in this chapter, zeroing in on Dalinar and Jasnah by name. And Dalinar comes up a couple of times here, as maybe you might expect. They're teeing up our contest coming at the end of all this. It's the big showdown, Odium Dalinar. Odium is buckling down of, I gotta crush that guy. That's what I took it as.
Dalinar was wrong, and someone needed to prove it. Okay. Anything else for these chapters, Owen?
That is it for me. Although I do have a little bit of a confession. I discovered way later than probably most people did about the chapter headings crumbling. You remember that? Talked about that a couple of weeks ago.
Yes, yeah.
I could not resist flipping one more page beyond our assignment just to see.
Oh, no.
See what was
spoilers.
In day six.
Ooh.
So I'm gonna spoil 2 inches of the next page. No words or anything. The headers are continuing to crumble. It's not catastrophic yet. They're still standing, but they are crumblier even than they were already, as I was expecting.
Spoilers.
Sorry.
Are you telling me that you think it's going to crumble even more? I thought we stopped that at day 5.
Crumbling away. It's going to be nothing by the end of the book.
Dang.
Or well, worse than nothing,
crumble
maybe.
Crumble me surprised.
It'll create an arch inverted below.
Yeah,
inverted.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like an abyss.
Right.
Void.
Okay, so next week we are not covering chapters. It is our episode 250 next week, and we have some special itinerary. However, the chapter after that, if you are listening to this in the far future and are skipping to episode 250, would be, hold the phone, chapters 69 through 71. Thanks for joining me, Paul and Elliot, and I will see you next week.
Day 6, let's go.
Toodles.
Thank you.